We're looking at the concept of the dream. As we examine the issues of that which motivates our heart, the thing that really causes us to get out of bed in the morning is the dream. That thing that we have, that we see in our future. We looked last week at Joseph and the things that God did in his life, and the main issue with him was that he lived a really tough childhood. He started off in a tremendous amount of turmoil. He made some mistakes himself, and then his dad made some mistakes by showing favoritism and rubbing that in the nose of all of these older brothers by giving him this beautiful ornate coat that for him to wear every day for them to see and to get madder and madder and madder about. Today we're looking at a different type of person. We may not have spoken to you at all last Sunday. You may have had a really wonderful childhood. You may be having that right now. I'm having mine right now. I'm in my second one, but it's an exciting thing to be born in the right family, be born in the right home, be born with the right brain, and be born with the right body, and be born with all of those wonderful things that make you popular and have prestige and to get along with others and enjoy your life. Everybody doesn't have and doesn't face the same issues of life. The person that is born with a tumultuous childhood, they dream too, but there's one distinct difference that exists in the person who finds themselves being pushed down constantly. And that is that dream that they have is more like a daydream. It's a dream that they never expect to come true. They just live inside of their mind with it. They enjoy the fun of looking at all of the things that could be. But they never really believe that it's going to happen because they have been pushed down so many times and their dreams have been dashed to pieces so many times that they look at that as fun, but not as a possibility. Then there are other people who get good grades, who are good in sports, who have wonderful families, great parents, who have beautiful faces, great personalities, all of these things, and things have just gone real well for them. And when that happens to a person as their life begins to progress, they have dreams as well. But these people have seen their dreams come true before. So they expect those things that they see, that they dream about, they actually expect them to come true. And as they plug those dreams into their life and start to live out their dream, they don't realize it, but this is a dream that they have created, and this is not the dream that God has created. Now, when everything is going well in our lives, we have a special scripture that we use: if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If your life is going good, then don't mess with it. Our philosophy is that if everything is going well in our lives, then we're happy with it, and we will just run with that, and we will make the best of that, because who knows, something might happen down the road, and we will get our lives messed up. So we might as well enjoy it while we got it. The only problem that we face in those dreams that we put into place on our own is that those dreams that we have lack a tremendous amount of wisdom. I don't care how smart we are. In comparison to the wisdom of God, we fall far short. Now, if we're traveling along at the speed of light and we go for billions of years, we will come out to some of the outskirts of the galaxies. And the Bible says in Isaiah 55:9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, billions and billions and billions of light years out into the universe, God's wisdom and God's ways are higher than ours. Bless you. You understand that? Does that make sense? Me either. That's beyond human comprehension, isn't it? Isn't it? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Isaiah 55:9, and my thoughts than yours. Now, Paul, in Philippians 3:4-6, and we'll put that up for you, had one of those kinds of lives. Things just went well for him. He started off just in a great situation. He was born with just that special golden spoon in his mouth. Everything started off from day one as he traveled into this world and cried out his first cry and exposed himself to the first air. He was in the right place. He was born a Roman citizen. He was circumcised on the eighth day, which was the perfect day that you're supposed to be circumcised on to be that perfect Jew. He was belonged to the people of Israel. He was in the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I wonder what that's like. To just be born right. In that special, unique place. A lot of us just cannot identify with that. But there are some here today that this has been pretty much your life. Your life has started off just going the right way. In regards to the law, he was a Pharisee, the number one denomination in his society. They were the biggest organizational structure, the most revered, the most believed and followed after of all of them, a Pharisee. As for zeal persecuting the church, which jumps on into his later life, and as for legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. In Acts 22, the Bible draws out, as he describes, he says, I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city, Jerusalem. In other words, even though he started off in Cilicia, they moved him to the city of cities. Jerusalem. I was brought up in this city right here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel as his tutor and his teacher and instructor. The best of the best. Had to be extremely expensive. And there it was. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers. And was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. And I think that was an understatement. Because he was probably the most zealous person in the entire Jewish realm. Now, those of you who have experienced something like that, I don't expect that any of us have had quite that much, but this should pretty much set the bar, the standard for what we're talking about as it relates to your life has just gone pretty good. You have experienced things going your way a lot. And as that happens in your life, you find yourself expecting certain things to happen to you and go your way in a good way, where that things are going to happen for you and you're just going to be blessed. Everything is pretty much going to head out in the directions you expect them to. And then all of a sudden, one day, God messes it up. Amen. All of a sudden, you're going this way, and he sends you that way. Unlike Joseph, who needed some raising up above his circumstances, you needed something to happen in your life to stop you, because if God didn't mess it up for you, you would be living somewhere else doing something else for someone else, wouldn't you? But when God comes and you run into that brick wall and all of a sudden God says, no, we're going to go this way. It is at that point that it is difficult for us because we don't understand. If things are not broke, don't fix them, God. Leave them alone. Everything is fine. Don't touch it. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What's it talking about, all these things? The how of living the dream of God is to realize that as people, we have a tendency to go straight for the results, don't we? We don't want to go through seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If I want fame, I just want to go for fame. I don't want to go through God to get to fame. I want to go to fame. I want to go to wealth. I want to go to popularity. I want to go to prestige. I just want to go straight to it. We're a point A, point B people, aren't we? Aren't we? You're doing better. And as point A, point B people, we don't like to have to take those detours because they are inconsistent to what we like for our lives. And God is saying, I'm going to add these things to your life. Now, let's pretend that your name is Saul. Are you ready? And you are heading towards your dream, and all of a sudden, a blinding light shines all around you and knocks you to the ground. And you hear a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And you say to him, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Oops. You don't feel like you're doing that, do you? We don't feel like if we're living our own personal dream that we're persecuting Jesus, do we? But in the process of us going our own way, point A to point B often gets other people in the way. Climbing the ladder very frequently finds other people on it that are in our way. And as those people get in our way, have you ever noticed those who are popular in school, how that they have a disdain for certain other people? Ever noticed that? Have you noticed how that some people won't talk to other people because they aren't good enough? Have you ever been invited to a party where some of your friends were not invited because they weren't cool? Have you ever been in a company where there was politics? No way. Have you ever been in a family where certain people were accepted and talked to and appreciated and bragged on, but others weren't? Yeah, me. I understand. Persecution. Whatever is done to the least of those people is done to Christ. Paul was killing Christians. He wasn't killing Jesus. Paul was persecuting Christians and throwing them in jail. He wasn't throwing Jesus in jail. And yet Jesus says, you're persecuting me. In the process of our dreams, we leave other people behind. Parents leave their kids behind. Grandparents leave their kids and their grandkids behind. In the process of reaching our dreams, we leave our spouses behind. In the process of reaching our dreams, we leave our friends behind, and we only associate with those people who can help us reach our goals. I'm only going to do business with those people who've got the money that can do business with me. I will only associate with those people who will bring me and raise me up to that point of prestige in this city that where I can reach my goals. These people are the people that I can use to get where I want to go. Isn't that right? It's not pretty, but it's right. Our dreams kill us and the people around us. Now, the main thing about a dream is it's like floating a lead balloon. When we have a dream of our own, we have to keep it in the air. You have to study to be the best. You have to work the hardest. You have to spend the most time. You have to make the most sacrifices. Everything about that dream has to be put as a priority in our lives. We don't have time for anything else. And so Jesus is saying to us in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is the supernatural manifestation of God. Do you realize that in a short period of time, God can put hundreds of thousands of dollars in your life? Do you realize that money's no object to God? Do you realize that God can catapult you to second in command in Egypt at a short period of time? If we go God's way, those things that have to take 10 and 20 and 30 years in order to accomplish on our own can be accomplished in a short period of time. We have to trust God for a new dream, don't we? And that's hard for us. Second Corinthians 12, 2 through 4 says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell." All of a sudden, after this Damascus experience of Paul's, all of a sudden he is caught up into heaven and he is permitted to hear the incredible words of God. Isn't that awesome? All of a sudden, he is included in on the plans and the power and the presence of God. All of a sudden, he finds himself catapulted to the greatness of those things that God has to offer. What God is offering each one of us is such a compassion, such a relationship with him, that a husband loves his wife, that a wife loves her husband, that parents love their kids, that kids love their parents, that grandparents love their kids and their grandkids, and the grandkids and the kids love the grandparents, the way that the family is united together because there is time, there are devotions, there are this move of God in our hearts that melts us together and brings us to a goal that we tried to reach on our own. But as we seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, all of a sudden our priorities, our thoughts, our feelings, our plans, our goals change. And all of a sudden God lifts us up above those dreams that we had before that we thought were so great. You remember I bought an RV, don't you? I and Christy were going to go down south Texas, and we were going to go across where it was warm. And we were going to head toward California. And all of a sudden, a blinding... No, just kidding. All of a sudden, God said no. It was a good plan. How many of you have that plan? All right. I've talked to some of you. It's a good plan. It just wasn't God's plan. Am I glad I'm here? Is Christy glad she's here? Yeah, we're glad we're here. Why does God change our lives so drastically sometimes? Why all of a sudden we're going 5,000 miles in one direction and he just stops us and heads us off in another? Because as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts above ours. He knows. And his way is superior to ours, isn't it? His way is superior to ours. That's why you're here this morning, is because you know you need God's input. You know you need God's conversation. You know you need God's word. You know you need God's plans, his wisdom, his love, his grace, his mercy. And so we came, and we're talking about something that is a little bit hard for us to give up. It's easier to have been in a really, really horrible place. No RV, no plan for going south, no plan for nice warm weather, no plans for just being able to spend time going where you want to go. It's easier if there is none of those things and all of a sudden God says, I'm going to raise you up above your circumstances. And we say, all right, thank you, God. But when it comes to those moments in our life when everything is going good, finally, and God says, nope, that's not a good moment for us. That's a hard one for us. This is a place where we will gripe a little bit. Where I say to him, well, now, are you sure this is God? Is there anybody else up there? This is the place where we get disgruntled. We think, man, finally my life is going in the right direction, and I'm starting to enjoy some benefits and some privileges and some opportunities. And then you want me to change and go to DuCoin? Where is DuCoin anyway? Is that okay with you? You have to decide. You have to decide whether it's okay with you. Are you going to make the turn? A lot of us are like the Titanic. They would have missed that iceberg if it hadn't been such a big boat. The captain is saying, turn, turn, turn. I have turned. It's turned all the way. But what does it take for one of these things so big? They just move so slowly around to the left. And that's the way we are sometimes. You say, God says, change. And you say, I'm changing. Why is it so hard? Because everything is going good. When God answers our prayers and everything's going bad, boom, we're happy. Thank you, God. Yes. And we stand up and give a testimony. But when everything is going wonderful and God comes in and changes that, no testimony. If we even hear anything about it, it's kind of like, oh, God spoke to me and he said that he's not going to let me do that. And we are frustrated with it. Those of you whose lives are raised up to a very exciting point as it relates to your own personal evaluation. And God is calling you to something that you don't understand. You need to take the how scripture. As the heavens are higher than the earth. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden. You may not feel like you're working all that hard, but if we take your life and we move it forward for 10 years, and we look at your life 10 years from now, and you went with God, and 10 years from now, and you went your own dream, there's going to be an astronomical difference in those two futures. Won't it? Won't it?
Yes.
Nice try. Won't it?
Yes.
We've got to say that yes. Now this congregation has been lagging a little bit behind on an important part of the service. You have been doing a really good job in the worship service. The worship services have been going beautiful. You've been responding real well. You're getting out of that particular denomination that you came from. You're starting to become Liberty Fellowship type people and are responding to the sermons real well. But we're having one more segment of the service that is vital to you. We're going to ask the elders and their wives to come up in a minute. And they're going to pray for you. And some of you are lagging behind on that. You don't understand the importance of that move. And I know it's sometimes a little embarrassing to step forward. But you have to understand that all of this sermon is doing is inviting you to the point of and showing you the importance of being transformed by the power of God. And if two or three agree on something on earth, it will be done in heaven. The reason why sometimes we learn a lot of Bible, but we don't live a lot of Bible, is because we don't get transformed. This isn't an educational moment. That you want your life to change, don't you? You didn't come here just to go through a religious exercise, did you? You came here because you wanted God to do something in your life. You wanted that supernatural manifestation of God to take place in your heart, in your life, in your family, in your circumstances around you, didn't you? And that is that third part. It doesn't have to be astronomical. It doesn't have to be that you're trying to get off of heroin. It doesn't require that you're coming up here because your whole entire life or marriage or family or something is falling apart. It has to do that you want to move up to that next plateau area. You want to move up in God to that next step. And you need as a congregation, a few are coming. But you as a congregation, you don't have to come. I'm not saying if you sit back there, I'm not going to come and get you. All right? You're safe. Don't leave right now before we have this elders come forward. You're safe back there. If you don't want to or if God's not leading you to, that's fine. But I know there are some of you. I know there's a bunch of you that God is speaking to your heart and your feet feel like lead. You know you need to come up and line up here. We need to have this thing lined up with just people ready to be prayed for, of people who want to make that move in their dream for God.